In today's episode, I've discussed with Sangeeta Motwani, a leader in the agriculture industry, and we've discussed the impact of e-commerce on farming and the challenges and opportunities it presents. Sangeeta shares her experience in working with Commodity Egg Marketplace and the various stakeholders involved. Sangeeta also highlights the importance of strategic partnerships and data analytics in the industry. She emphasizes the need for bold decision-making and taking risks to drive growth. Sangeeta's management style focuses on autonomy and learning from challenges. We also explored Sangeeta's amazing journey from her early days growing up in the Middle East and England to her bold move to Canada. Sangeeta's journey is nothing short of extraordinary. We'll explore how she transitioned from a city girl to a pioneering force in the agricultural industry, her insights into the integration of technology in farming, and her role in transforming how farmers engage with the market through innovative e-commerce solutions. This is an inspiring episode of Sangeeta's personal journey, but also a fascinating outlook into the farming industry, a very, very mature industry that is undergoing a major change for digitization and even launching marketplace and e-commerce platform. So let's dive in. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Welcome, Sangeeta, to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Eitan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you've been here with us. Super excited about our chat today. Agriculture industry, farming, really exciting topics, and definitely e-commerce in these so important fields of our life, right? So let's start with you, right? I'm really, really interested about you, about your career path, right? And how did you get to this industry? And you can start from wherever you want, from whenever time you want. I know you have plenty of interesting stories to share, so let's kick it off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I grew up in Middle East. I'm in South Asian cultural background, and India specifically. Grew up in Middle East, moved to England, and made my way to Canada. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey. I've enjoyed my travel around and my stays around different countries. But specifically agriculture, I think when my parents don't come from an agriculture farming background, I'm very much a city girl. My dad was in procurement, worked in Middle East for 35 years. We lived there, you know, family of four with my brother and my mom. And yeah, I wanted to do something very different. I've always been a trailblazer. I don't fit in a box, and I wanted to do something different. And agriculture was, honestly speaking, a different beast in my family. It was something that no one understood. And I moved to England to take on plant genetics. Wanted to do some sort of genetic engineering and get my, you know, very much a hands-on experience on how to build antibiotics for, you know, fit it in the vegetables that we can help countries that can't afford a lot of medicines, etc. So focused on different levels and different sides of agriculture that can be sustainable in the world. But I made a trip in 2010 to Canada, and I was taken back about how amazing prairies is and the opportunity that lies in Canada, you know, just as a whole. I mean, new country, very few people, affordable compared to England at the time, and multiple, you know, things to learn from and just grow as an individual too. So 2011, I moved to the prairies. I booked my flight a day before I was supposed to travel. I left on a whim, and I'm a very impulsive person too. There's only one way to find out. I tell people, you got to try it. And if nothing, then you learn that you wouldn't do that ever again. So the best mistake I made is to leave in the middle of the night without paying rent for the following month. I just left, packed my bags, and I was on a plane to Calgary, for that matter, and which is where I am. I'm in Calgary today. And I made my way from Calgary to a small town, Swift Current in Saskatchewan in the prairies. what a culture shock did one city girl have. a house secluded on a farm, nothing around you, no people, just you, yourself, and some wild animals. But what a great experience. And I found myself right on a farm, right in the thick of agriculture, and networked with some people in the industry, and found my first gig at Cargill. So that's how I started in the farming industry.
Wow, amazing. So tell us about your experience, your e-commerce journey, right, in Calgary. How has it started?
Yeah, shortly after I started with Cargill, I found myself at OPI Systems, an agriculture technology company that was the first agriculture technology background that I was exposed to. I understood how much technology can be leveraged in agriculture industry too. And, farming practices back in India are very old school. They have small acres, so they don't really invest a lot of money. Farmers particularly don't invest a lot of money into large equipment or technology for that matter. However, that's a different scenario today in India, but that was my notion walking into an ag industry and working with an agriculture technology company. And I found I was very shocked to see how far technology has come within an industry like agriculture and farming, and how adaptable it is, and how convenient it is for a farmer to use those tools. After working at OPI Systems for a few years, I found myself at Farmers Business Network, and I was the first employee of Canada. And again, company that I had heard of in US, I heard it was doing great things, and I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to see if there was a way I can make a difference, and oh my, I sure did. And again, like I said, Eaton, I have always been a trailblazer. I love to test things out, coming from a very much an experiment, background in labs. I definitely apply that in my real life as well. I wanted to see how agriculture changing its shape. And if I can contribute towards that, I don't fit in a shoebox, in a particular way. If there are multiple ways of doing something, whether that's quicker or cheaper or better, I'm definitely, in for that. And so, I found myself at Farmers Business Network. It's an e-commerce e-commerce platform for farmers to purchase their crop inputs online. Definitely had its growing pains with farmers because I was customer facing in the beginning, and farmers had never heard of anything like that, had never tried anything like that. And the uptake was great. There's one thing I learned, Eaton, is that just because it's not been done doesn't mean it cannot be done, right? And which is what led me to Farmers Edge Commodity Ag Marketplace, building and executing the model. And today I'm part of Commodity Ag as their business unit lead head, and working with my team in US and Canada, and making change every day, every hour.
Wow, really, really exciting and journey. But so how e-commerce transformed the agriculture industry? I mean, what unique challenges that it presents? Tell us, I think listeners would like to further understand how the industry is working today. And I know you introduced e-commerce to this equation. Tell us about this transformation. What's the before and after?
So farmers in Canada, and I can speak for Canada because I'm in Canada, and it's very similar in US as well, but farmers love to have relationships, with the sales reps, the manager at the location. They love to travel to go see their sales reps or any grain reps for that matter. And the business is very much done with, brick and mortar stores.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when we talk about growing pains, the growing pains were a couple of them. One was you don't have that social touch or aspect of it. However, as a sales rep myself, a few years ago, I definitely reached out to every farmer, went to their farm, spent time with them, built the connection. And I think it's not so much about the relationship as much as it is about trust and trust mm-hmm. about the company that was coming into Canada, changing the landscape a little bit, you know, taking the market share from the existing companies and the existing businesses. So the growing pains is not just with the customer, you know, customers in itself, but also how the brand is performing. Is this chemical something, you know, that we can use? Is this the brand that we can trust? Is this going to be available on my farm when I need it? Is this going to come, you know, in the size and the way I want to be able to apply it? So many challenges from buying the crop inputs to actually using the crop inputs. So multiple challenges, but the model in itself proved very efficient. And I'd have to say farmers were astonished and pleasantly surprised on how that can also be applied, how e-commerce can be applied to agriculture.
Yes, yes. So you operate a marketplace, correct?
Yes.
There is a name for this marketplace, by the way?
What's the name? It's called CommoditEgg. Yeah.
CommoditEgg. So exactly. So CommoditEgg, tell us about the stakeholders in the marketplace, buyers, sellers. I mean, how the transactions are being made on this marketplace? What is the business models around it?
Yeah, so CommoditEgg is available in Canada and available in US. So CommoditEgg just recently was launched in Canada, and you are facing, it's a very much a B2C marketplace. When you say e-commerce platform and when you say marketplace, what differentiates CommoditEgg is that it's not just crop inputs. As a farmer, you've purchased your glyphosate, your staples like Diaquat, glufosinate, Paraquat, anything that you need on a regular basis or will be used predominantly, you know, on the farm. These products are on the platform, but apart from those, what makes it a marketplace is that there is parts, equipment, machinery, there is storage, there is grain monitoring services. So you can look at, you know, this platform as a holistic approach because you've got different products and services that a farmer would need. So you as a farmer, if you were to go on and say, okay, what is the glyphosate price doing today? And then you realize, oh my God, I actually have an aerial applicator in my area that I didn't know about. So when you look at the stakeholders, of course, farmers are very important in this part of the journey, as well as vendors, because if our shelves are not full, farmers are not going to get that level of service and product. So, you know, vendors are as important as farmers, but you also look at that these vendors can be, you know, a service provider for that matter. It could be a retail that already has a brick and mortar store. It could be a small farmer starting out selling something that he built in his basement or in his shop. So we are welcoming any farmer or a vendor or a partner that is wanting to get that extra exposure, an additional platform that could really give them the reach that they didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you actually worked from day one on working with these farmers, seeing them face to face, trying to convince them to go, you know, upload their store, their requirements and storefront to the marketplace. What were the main challenges that you were facing, you know, back then?
So I believe the main challenge was the brand name, the company name. When, you know, Farmers Business Network entered Canadian market, my one and only task was to educate farmers. Hey, there's a company that can support your needs. There is another way, another channel for you guys to transact on. We're all trying to be multi-channel. We're all trying to be omni-channel. One channel we realized during COVID was not enough. If we were buying our eggs and bread from one location, you know, if it was shut, if it wasn't available, we had to find that second alternative or third alternative. For sometimes there was just no access to these products. So the challenge in the beginning in 2017, what I faced in particular was reaching out to these growers, giving them, you know, 2-minute spiel on the phone, getting in front of them, traveling from anywhere from southern Alberta to northern Alberta to Saskatchewan to reaching out to these farmers to get some time. So that in itself was challenging. But at the same time, giving them an idea of what this channel is that they had never heard before. And I'm talking a lot of farmers that don't even have phones on their farm, don't have internet. They focus on just, you know, working and running their farm, more so on equipment. So now I was really trying to sell a fancy technology to a farmer that did not believe in having mobile phones. So that was one of the biggest challenge. But at the end of the day, you know, when you go get over that hill and you're working with these farmers, building the trust and, you know, starting out very small, then you can get there. And again, you know, my only statement to anyone that's going through their, you know, challenges is that how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time, one step a day, you know, one call at a time, one visit at a time. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So the farmers are obviously the buyers in the platform. They are also having an opportunity to promote their goods on the platform. Like there is also a marketing initiative that you implemented there.
Yes, absolutely. So farmers can, if farmers have a product that is related to farm, whether that is fixing a bin for that matter, I mean, I'm just making this up, but you know, fixing a bin, fixing an equipment, definitely post your services because this is just a buy and sell channel. Really, that platform leverages small retailers to big retailers to promote their product. If there's a retailer that is long on some sort of product and you want to post it with us, absolutely. The marketing options that you touched on, Eaton, is very much available for a vendor to promote their products with us, whether that is side banner, rotating banner, you know, e-blasts, emails, and personalized mails out to the farm. So yeah, multiple options there.
Yes, and these are like additional services that you can provide, right, for the suppliers.
That's
to promote their goods.
That's right.
So if we take a look at the back-end side, like supply chains, right? Suppliers are probably local suppliers, but also international supplying, right? So let's talk about, you know, the supply chain aspect. What do you see now in the industry, in your industry? Something has changed, you know, with interest rate, with, you know, increased competition. What are the challenges around supply chains for operating such a platform?
Yeah, and you know, with COVID, we realized a lot of supply chain, you know, problems and you know, that it was disrupted, really. It was very disrupted, you know, lots of active ingredients, technical, you know, all the products come from China. All the raw materials were coming from China. And we realized that that was one channel, you know, we can have all our eggs in one basket. And it was really hard to fulfill most of the products. And not just by, you know, the company I work for or people I interacted with, but just in general, every, you know, supply chain was disrupted. And then once COVID had calmed down a little bit by 2020 December, we were running into Chinese New Year. We were running into New Year. We were running into Christmas time with shipping and heavy, expensive logistical prices, right? So it was just such an aha moment. And it was like, okay, this is where, you know, we have a lot of inventory and we promote the products off season and get farmers to purchase that well in advance. So they have their product on the farm before they need to use it. And farmers really realize that too, that, hey, if we have a better pricing for booking season or, you know, pre-season sales that we can take advantage of, you know, that really reduces the load and you know, the burden on in-season supply chain. And we realized that, you know, just not having China, but also other countries like India, Malaysia, you know, Italy that have raw materials that can be leveraged for those products. And it could be very much a better rate for that matter, because they're new manufacturers too, or they could be used, you know, as a niche product or as a premium product to promote on your website. So multiple options that can, you know, be tested and tried with farmers. And those were some of those pieces that we tried. But you know, talking of supply chain on commodity egg, we take that, you know, we take that off our plate, and not because supply chain is something that, you know, I personally don't want to handle. I do have my background in supply chain and manufacturing as well. But at the end of the day, I want it to be a marketplace where a farmer or a vendor or a retailer is promoting their product, and farmer can still connect with the same sales rep they work with, same person they work with. It's just a channel mirror that is giving that exposure that, hey, these products are available, and that can be fulfilled by their retailer in the same fashion it was when they were visiting.
Of course. You cannot take it as part of your own marketplace responsibilities. Of course, maybe you'll be like on the support side, but the delivery is the the responsibility of the supplier itself.
That's right.
What can you share with us on, and I know there are a lot of products line out there, services, it's really diverse, but what can you share with us in terms of like AOV, time to purchase, you know, in the platform?
Yeah, I love the lingo AOV. You know, if you understand marketplace, you understand AOV, average order value for our listeners. But average order value, you know, we're trying to definitely increase that. We're trying to increase the CRO, which is a conversion rate optimization. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are the metrics that, you know, one would look at when you're running a marketplace. And when you're looking at average order value in US, it's very different in Canada. In Canada, an AOV would be anywhere $10,000 and up, and, you know, around $9,000 to $12,000, I'd say, in that range. But when you look at that range in US, just because of the size of the farm, it is definitely much lower. And we are targeting at $7,000 to $8,000 as our AOV. Yeah. And, you know, traffic is equally important. And so those are some other metrics that we're looking at.
Sure. And like time to purchase?
So we have two programs that we run. We run our off-season program, whereas booking sales program, if you are looking at placing an order and holding your spot, the cost position that is available. Again, and there are lots of factors. You're looking at better supply chain, you know, better logistics pricing, better container prices from China for that matter, or India for that matter, that are lower from, you know, September to December. And if you can lock that in, actually much before December, but if you can lock that in, then you're getting a, you know, sort of a volume discount for that matter. I hate to use that term, but at the end of the day, when we get multiple orders, we can place that with the manufacturer or retailer, and farmers can utilize that cost position. So that's a really good period to purchase, is September to December, by far the best period with any e-commerce platform. But when you're looking at in-season products, you can definitely see some of the in-season products as well that we run around the year. So if you're looking for a part, machinery, farmers working on his equipment in the month of March, and he needs to hit the fields by end of March or April for that matter. And if there's a piece of equipment that, you know, or a part that he needs to fix his machinery, we can get that delivered to him within 48 hours.
Wow. Nice. Yeah. So I want to talk to you about partnerships and maybe strategic partnerships. And I know it is an important, important aspect of your career as well, because you've done it, you know, throughout your career many, many times. How do you approach strategic partnerships, specifically in the agriculture industry?
Yeah, partnerships is important as you go in any part of the industry, and very much important in agriculture industry, more so than any other industry, in my opinion. And I think that is because it's a very much a relationship-based industry and trust. So I really think that when you're looking at, approaching a retail, approaching a manufacturer, you know, even in my past lives, when I was reaching out to manufacturers for raw materials and such, it's important to go in with the data that you have. What does your path look like? What does your end goal look like for that year? Mm-hmm. What visibility can you give to that manufacturer or a retailer? What are you looking, how are you looking to grow? Where does your growth take you with that partnership and without that partnership, or partnerships similar to that vendor? So having that clarity with those partners will definitely give you that trust that you're looking to gain. And a lot of times, I mean, you've probably experienced it too. There's no, you know, I guess very few meetings where you get out of the meeting and you shook hands. I mean, I would like to close. I love closing and all my deals, and I'm very much passionate about closing my, you know, deals. But at the same time, you have to give your partners enough time to chew on the new idea, the new path, the new path to, you know, your market. And at the end of the day, you know, follow-up is very important. I really think if you can follow up within the same week or in a week's time, you know, you've definitely lost 50% of that year's sales. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So this is really, really fascinating and interesting. Again, thank you so much. I want to continue, I mean, discuss about your team, right? You are a female leader, and I know you have a majority female team as well. Yeah. Tell us about your team. How has it been structured? What are the positions there? I would love to learn more about that.
Yeah, I stepped into this role in April last year, and being, you know, just a female leader within the same within the company I'm working at right now, or any other, you know, company for that matter, I think comes with its challenges when you've taken on a leadership role. But at the end of the day, there's plenty of support, you know, from your mentors, from your team, you know, internal team as well. And you know, when you have a good rapport in the market and a good reputation, and also you have great connections in the market and industry for that matter, I think that really supports you. What I tell my team is that, you know, being in agriculture industry, I'm going to use an agriculture reference, is that, you know, you harvest the seed you plant. And if you take care of it with lots of TLC and lots of hard work, you're going to harvest what you're really looking for. You know, there's only one way to get a different result, is when you do something differently. If there's something that's not working out, try a different approach. You know, that being said, I've got really good talented team and very hardworking team, honestly, very, very hardworking team. I've got an operations specialist that is a whiz understanding how, you know, logistics work, fulfillment work, sales orders that come in, purchase orders that need to go out, has handled everything, you know, from, you know, that perspective, and very smart and a passionate individual, and a lady herself as well, that is very hardworking and is a mother too. So I really, you know, appreciate all the hard work that an individual can put, and managing family as well. My sales rep, inside sales person, is also a woman and has a new baby. So also very hardworking, you know, and I'm very flexible as a leader as to when they can put in the time, because obviously there's a new, you know, baby and new addition to the family member. So I feel that as a woman, you know, you've got your tasks on a day-to-day basis, not saying that doesn't happen with other, you know, with men or you know, with other individuals for that matter. But I think, you know, having a new baby is definitely a big big challenge and big time that you have to navigate through, you know, because you're also learning as you go, especially if it's your first child. But I have another leader, you know, in my on my team. She is the marketplace development manager, very much business development oriented, reaching out to vendors, retailers, manufacturers, whoever, you know, she can connect with to, you know, understand and build that network. And I also have a revenue manager, revenue operations manager. He comes with immense experience on ERP integrations, data analytics, managing a team, and really looking at numbers, you know, and trying to figure out what path, you know, tactically we can take. So I have a very talented team, and I'm always looking to grow. So, you know, in a few months, we'll, you know, as we're getting busier in Canada, we'll definitely be adding more members.
Nice, nice. So looking at 2024 and your plans for the year, what do you see as like major revenue opportunities, and what you're going to focus in 2024?
Multiple revenue streams that Commodity Ag is focusing on, and, you know, they're not visions only. They've been executed. We've had great results, and we'll definitely be focusing on those. One is software as a service. We're working with a lot of companies and partners in US and Canada to provide them software as a service and e-commerce marketplace if they're looking to work on and build their own. We support them with the, you know, technology that they may need. And mm-hmm. we are tech leaders, but we are also agriculture leaders. Eaton Farmers Edge has been around for a couple decades. It has a great brand, has great brand recognition for that matter. And if anyone is looking to partner in that capacity, we reach out to a lot of companies. And again, you know, anywhere from whether that's a retail customer facing or whether that's a B2B base company.
Yeah.
Apart from that, we're focusing on paid promotions. If a company is looking to add their promotions on our website, so we're looking at those revenue streams, apart from obviously the marketplace sales. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And the industry as a whole, obviously all of us, we need to eat, right? So definitely there is, it's going to be there. What are the major trends that you see are shaping this industry looking for the future?
I believe within the agriculture industry, there have been lots of ups and downs. And I mean, we just briefly touched on the supply chain disruption, you know, a couple of years ago due to COVID and world coming to a standstill. But, you know, and I think lots of companies have not only navigated through that, but also put some different options and different strategies in place. And so, you know, so have I in my strategy within this company on how to navigate through those if they again happen to, you know, come to surface. But the major trends, you know, the prices are going down of crop inputs in China. And there's been, you know, climate is one big factor. If there's drought in, you know, in your region, the crop inputs, the usage goes down quite a bit. That basically increases the volume of offshore chemicals sitting, you know, whether that's in you know, on a retail farm or a manufacturer's yard for that matter. So that basically drives down the prices of crop inputs in China and on the supply. However, that could, you know, with a lot of political issues that we are seeing lately in on the news and media, that is driving up the prices of containers, you know, for shipping, etc. So those are many different factors that contribute to the ups and downs of agriculture industry. However, like you said, everyone needs to eat. So farmers are still going to be farming. We're still going to need that food on the table. But this may definitely contribute to some, you know, increase in costs, decrease in yield for that matter. And one other big one is the prices of grain. You know, there's also that contributes towards the food prices. And we've, you know, in Canada, Eaton, we've definitely seen quite a bit of, you know, high inflation and hoping that basically, you know, comes back to normal in a year's time. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Specifically on your platform and your plans, I want to address the data and data insight, right, that you collect. How is this data being used, you know, specifically for the agriculture industry and specifically for commodity marketplace?
Yeah. So on commodity egg marketplace, the data analytics that we look at obviously are some of the metrics that we are focusing on. And the big one is traffic. We really monitor that closely. If we are promoting something, we want to see how efficient that has been and how that traffic is contributing to sales, basically looking at the conversion rate. So those are some of the data analytics that, you know, anyone for that matter on marketplace should be monitoring. Anyone wanting to get into marketplace or starting an e-commerce platform should look at. But other than that, we also have data analytics associated with if a vendor is looking to promote their product, how efficient it is there, you know, how efficient was their promotional campaign, or are they, you know, are they getting sales out of the campaign, or are there other products that farmers are looking to transact on? So these are some of the data analytics piece that we run on paid promotions as well. And any vendor is, you know, free to choose these different tiers of paid promotions with us and get some, you know, insights into how their product is doing on our website.
Yeah. So for those who are interested to go into the industry and more, maybe more specifically to the e-commerce within the agriculture industry, what advice can you provide these to these people?
One thing I'd say is that it's where the market is going, where the consumer wants to go. With COVID, I stepped out very little out of my house to go purchase something. If I have the ease of looking at the products, you know, on my phone or my computer, you know, definitely utilize that channel more than, you know, going into the store, looking for picking, driving all that distance. But the second piece is that it doesn't hurt to try having presence on our website. If a farmer or a vendor or a small retailer in any industry for that matter has started or released a product, there is nothing to lose having that extra exposure. Additionally, if a retail, well-established retail, is looking to enter a new market, but they don't want to hire someone in that area because they don't understand the ROI, this is one of the best ways to get your feet wet and understand what that market looks like for them.
Yes, it's a good, it's a good way to test, right, before you go full scale.
Oh, absolutely. And again, talking back, what do the metrics look like? What was the traffic in that area? You can specifically target that audience. You can target that audience with paid search, Google ads, you know, Facebook ads, social media. You know, there are obviously these ads are, you know, cost $1, $5 per day, whatever that looks like. Set your budget, check it out. It's a minimal investment compared to having boots on the ground if you're looking to enter a new area. I'm not saying that their model is not going to work in the sense by putting an individual there, but if you're looking to put an individual there, but also having that extra channel, I think it's a no-brainer.
Sure, sure. Yeah, very, very interesting. Sangeeta, what is your management style or management philosophy? How do you take decision day to day?
Yeah, as a leader, as a manager, I am, you know, I have a very much a discussion way of handling my conversations. I want to understand what the day-to-day challenges are, and any other company, Eaton, there are growing pains. You know, there's a philosophy I live by is that if it wasn't difficult, it's not worth doing it. And I've always taken on a challenge because I love to see how my actions are making a difference, and also growing my career in the same way, because if I'm doing something different, that's also teaching me on how to do things. So I really tell my team, do things that challenge you and that you learn from and that helps you grow in your career, especially on your resume. Obviously, it's contributing to success towards the company and as a team as a whole. But at the same time, really trying to look at yourself, how passionate you are about that project, own it and learn from it. And I provide a lot of autonomy on how they can take, you know, decisions of their own. If they have a farmer that's interested in doing business in a certain way, understand that, reach, you know, negotiate that and build that partnership. I don't think any partnership, in my opinion, is a bad partnership. You either learn from it or you either gain from it.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is that you are encouraging your team and also probably yourself, right, to be more bold in the move that you take, take some risks, right? You encourage this autonomy means taking more risks, right? And from the risk you learn and try to improve, correct?
Absolutely. There's only one way to learn it. You got to take the leap and the net will appear. So you got to keep trying it.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Great. Sangeeta, thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Really, it's an amazing topic. Very, very interesting industry. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, you know, one last thing. I think if you're looking to have an e-commerce platform or partnership, definitely reach out to me. But also, if you as an individual in non-egg industry are looking to establish your own marketplace, do it. There is no brainer. There's going to be some, you know, efforts that are that will go into creating that platform, but there's definitely a lot of fruits to, you know, reap. Yeah.
Great. And Sangeeta, please share with us something about yourself that most people don't know.
I believe those that work with me and have been my leaders, they know I love traveling. I've been to all seven continents and I've been to over 80 countries by myself.
Wow.
I've been a solo traveler up until last year, but I've been to 80 countries and seven continents. Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. So where is the best place for people to find you?
LinkedIn is great. Sangeeta Motwani. They can find me. My name is on the screen, and reach out to me, see how we can partner. There might be some partnerships or some support that I may need. So feel free to reach out to me.
Wonderful. Sangeeta, thank you so much again. It was really, really interesting. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Eden. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.